This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, you know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. For 60 years, St. Jude doctors and researchers have helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. But we need your help getting that number to 100%. And most important, your support means that families will never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. Now, that peace of mind means so much. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
Welcome to a special episode of the Bobbycast. It's an episode in case you missed it. And usually this happens because Mike and I are like, you know what interview was great? And we haven't heard from him in a while. And then we just play it. And sometimes people don't want to scroll all the way down and find like an old Chris Stapleton interview, you know?
Yeah.
So this one's a little different. I was at the airport and I was flying back from Utah. I was at a speaking deal there. And I see Tennille Arts and what she had posted on her Instagram story. Now, Tennille Arts, let me play her number one song here. Hit that one. But I want that all is falling, keep the fire burning. So, I like Tennille Arts. I don't know her super well, but we've had her on the Bobbycast a couple of times. So, I'll read you her Instagram story. I was so intrigued. I do not know what it means, but I kind of want to reset everybody because it sounds like it could be dramatic.
Yeah.
Good or bad? I don't know what it is. I mean, it could be something. So, let me read the story. We'll get to it. Tennille Arts on Instagram writes, this is in the last few days before we get to an old episode and some thoughts. She writes, to be honest, I haven't been completely honest with all of you. The last 2 years have been really tough, and I'm done hiding what I've been through. Get ready for some real content and a real look into my life. I have videos, I have pictures, I have receipts, I have stories, I have the blank receipts. So I'm not hiding anything or holding anything back anymore. The people who treated me like S know who they are, and I hope they see this. If you even question whether this is about you, it is. Welcome to the new era and the new me. To my amazing fans, you are my lifeline. I love you so, so much. You have always been there for me, and I'm so grateful for you. More to come. Then she puts a heart. It's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Pretty dramatic. And it could be a whole litany of things. I mean, it could be some serious, like, traumatic stuff, or it could be an ex, or it could be business. I don't know.
At first, I thought it was, like, with her record label, because she did leave her other record label.
I did, too, at first.
She got the rights to her songs, and I thought it was that, but the whole keeping receipts thing. Like, that seems like a personal thing.
I have videos, I have pictures, I have texts, I have stories, I have the receipts. Yeah, so we don't know what it is. I haven't reached out to her because I don't know her well enough to be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I want to, though.
We had her on for the first time back in 2019. Was she the first person to ever bring her instrument in?
First person, bring her guitar.
She came in and she had her case, and I thought maybe she'd come from a write or a show, and she was like, here, let me play. And she was just like, I want to show that I can play with no little studio special effects. And she was good. So I wanted to go back to that. So she talked about how she grew up on a wheat farm, how she moved to Nashville after being discovered online. She went on The Bachelor twice to perform. And again, she had her guitar. You can check out her new single called Jealous of Myself, featuring Leanne Rimes. Ooh, what if it's her and Leanne Rimes fighting?
Oh, the music video just came out.
Dang. So I'm interested. She's got me. I'm following along to see what the drama is. But this is in case you missed it. So here's Tennille Arts on the Bobbycast, in case you missed it. Here we go, episode 203 with Tennille Arts. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Get on. All right. There you go. Pretty good. I was looking at your Instagram. You have a lot of followers.
I do.
What's the deal? Where did that come from?
I don't know. I mean, I've been on social media for a really long time and on YouTube. And yeah, I've just been like really trying to keep up the online presence.
I was doing a little deep dive about you, and I had seen that you were on The Bachelor twice, not as a contestant. Although that'd be a good story too. But you played twice. How do you land getting on The Bachelor to play?
Well, my manager had been sending my music into them for a really long time, and they just came across some of my music that they loved. The first song was called Moment of Weakness, and it pretty much sounded like we had written it for the show. So it worked out really well, and I performed on a one-on-one date.
Do you remember who it was?
It was Ari and Chelsea.
Okay, so Mike, do you know who Ari is?
I do.
Okay, help me out.
Good looking dude. I think he has like kind of grayish hair, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That, no, okay, so I got it. Mm-hmm. And that was the season. I don't really watch the show. I don't hate people that do, by the way. Don't get mad at me, Bachelor Nation. He's the one that was like, he broke up with the girl at the end of the season? Like,
yeah,
on
he
camera.
Picked someone and then broke up with her and then picked the like second place girl.
I guess. Now, that I can admire. Anyone that kind of is not status quo on that show, I like. Okay, so you play for him and Chelsea. Did they stay together?
No.
Was it your song? Was that the reason they didn't stay together?
I hope not. No. She left. She had a kid, so she wanted to
She had a kid
back.
On the show? As they were dancing?
On the show, but I think she wanted to get back to her son, so I think she ended up leaving the show.
So tell me what that's like then, playing. Do you have to play it over and over and over again for the cameras?
Yeah, we play it a few times. It's like definitely a surprise for the girl. I think the Bachelor knows that this is going down because I think he has like a hand in picking the dates, but the girl was completely surprised when she walked in, and we played the song a couple of times for them to get their shots and everything, but then we play it again multiple times. And
That makes sense. So they can shoot you.
Yeah, so they can get close-ups and stuff. But it was really awkward because nobody told me if I should look at the cameras or not, so I just found myself staring at the couple dancing and making out, and it was so awkward. I did not know what to do. It was, that was that. But
so let me hear some of this Moment of Weakness, and I'm going to imagine a couple dancing, right? That is quite the Bachelor song.
Yeah.
Because you're basically begging them to make out right there.
Yeah.
You're playing the song, like, all right, have your Moment of Weakness right here on camera so we can document it. Okay, so you go on the show, and I would imagine, because I've had some friends go on that show and play, there's a nice pop with your music the day after it airs.
Oh, yeah.
So that was pretty cool, right?
That was really cool. That had a huge part to do with my social media and just my music getting out there in general.
So, but then you go back again?
Yeah.
So then they're like, hey, you riveted our couple so much, we want you to bring that back for another couple? Is that what happened the next time?
I don't know. They're just like, they became a fan of my music and they wanted to help me out as a new artist. And I think it's really cool and kind of unexpected to be a part of something like The Bachelor. Like, you wouldn't think that's a great way to promote your music, but it kind of is. I mean, there's a lot of people that watch that show and it's like the perfect age for my music. So they asked me to come back.
So you go back and then you play for?
This one was Colton and Elise.
Okay. Now, if I remember, they're not together.
No.
You're 0-2. I'm just telling you, your success rate on this show is not good for the couple staying together.
I've played really early on in the show, so I feel like, you never know what's going to happen at that point.
So Colton and Elise, and what are they doing?
Like,
eating?
On a date?
Oh, dancing?
Yeah, it was in a big theater in LA, so there was actually an audience there.
Okay, so a little more natural.
Way more natural this time.
So you're playing in a theater, and how does that... And pardon me for not knowing this. How do they set that up? Do they fake like they're walking in on a show or they're both big Tennille Arts fans?
Yeah, sometimes they do it like that.
Not that they'd be faking it, but I'm I do a lot of TV too, and we fake a lot of stuff. Not originally, but in order to redo it again and again and again, we have to sometimes go, all right, let's shoot this again.
Yeah.
So they walk in like, oh yeah, we're big fans of Tennille Arts. Let's go. Is that what it was?
Yeah, basically. That's what happened. It was like a surprise for the girl and everything. But she ended up messaging me like right after that episode and was like, I'm going to remember that night forever. I love your music. So she definitely like dove into my music after that.
And so, and then there you have it.
Yeah.
Two, you need one more though. You got to get on a successful, you got to get on a couple that stays together.
Yeah. I'll try.
Right now you're the Clayton Kershaw of The Bachelor. Okay. Just not working out for you so far.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool though. They brought you back. And what song did you do there?
Well, it ended up being a song called I Hate This, which was a breakup song.
You predicted what was going to happen. Kinda. I do like that song. I hate the song I've programmed into the Women of iHeart Country show. This is a good one.
Thank
Not
you.
That the other one wasn't, I just had never heard it. Mm-hmm. I like this one a lot. Bottom line is, I still love. own music? You kind of bob your head and you still, do you like listening to your own music?
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because when we played that, I felt like you kind of felt that a little bit.
Yeah, I immediately started thinking about when I like wrote it and who it's about. And yeah, I go there every time.
So you wrote that as, okay, good. It's a perfect segue into this. We have a lot of songwriters that come on the show, mm-hmm. which you are, obviously.
Yeah.
And they talk about songs. So let's talk about this song specifically. How long ago did you write it?
Would have been like a year and a half ago.
Oh, still pretty fresh.
Yeah, pretty new. And it's funny because when I had originally written it, I wasn't going through a breakup or anything. Like, I was kind of imagining what that would be like and everything. And then I went through a breakup. And that song, it was so hard to go out and sing that song at every show.
So a song that you didn't write about your breakup ended up being hard to sing because later on you went through a breakup.
Yeah.
That's kind of a, Mike, we've never heard a story like that, right?
I know.
Like they write a song and then it comes back into their life, about their life.
The breakup, and then it's hard to sing about that, but
yeah,
not the other way around.
Like yeah. Carly, when she became interested, like, yeah, I wrote every little thing and, you know, I would play it and think about the breakup every time. But you didn't break up with the song. It just came back to haunt you later.
It did.
Huh, interesting. So you write the song. And did you write it about the boyfriend you had at the time? And at least, like, did you predict? That's
yeah,
what it was. You were predicting the breakup, aren't you?
It wasn't that far mm-hmm. before we ended up breaking up. So I think that I had a little bit of that in my mind. But I always try to, like, take from personal experiences or try to imagine what it would be like if I was going through that.
You wrote this with a guy named Adam Wheeler?
Yeah.
So you guys hop in a room together.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that work with you? You go, hey, I got this idea. I'm probably going to break up with this dude. Like, how does that work?
I didn't say that.
Okay,
but,
go ahead.
I had written a lot with him around that same, like, time period. So we knew what was going on in each other's lives. And he knew that things were, like, a little bit rocky in my relationship. And he had talked about some of his past relationships, and we really just kind of dove into it. And the song, it's weird because the song isn't really about, like, a breakup. It's about that time period right after you break up where you don't know if you're going to end up getting back together or if you're just going to actually stay broken up. Because I feel like there's a little bit of hope during that time where you still love that person and you still think maybe, you know, something might work out. But then, you know, eventually you have to deal with the fact that, okay, maybe it really is over.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Away from music. Like most times, let's do a little public service announcement. It doesn't work out. If you're going to break up, it doesn't work out.
I know.
I'll tell you from my experience. You feel like, you know, it might work out. Let's give it another try. But I'm going to say probably like 93% of the time. If you break up and you're like, maybe we should give it a try because it could, it's not going
to. Yeah, because I think once you break up, you think that those things will maybe like work themselves out. And then when you get back together, it'll just be like a fresh start. But it's not. There's still like all of those things that you, all of those issues, I guess, that you had before.
You know what you should do? This is maybe a lesson for you. You're a little bit younger than I am or anyone watching this or listening to this. If you're struggling in your relationship and you don't know really what to do to make it work, have a baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Wouldn't you say that's a good one, Mike?
That's great advice.
Yeah. I just have a baby.
No.
Then you're stuck and you have to make it work.
Fixes
yeah.
every problem.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, fixes all the problems. You don't agree with that?
No, I do not. All right.
Why don't we do Somebody Like That? Which is, this is the single now?
It is.
Okay. Here is Somebody Like That. All right, tell me about this one.
All right. Well, I wrote this one after writing a ton of breakup songs. I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm done writing these breakup songs. I want to start looking for somebody again. I want to, you know, start putting myself out there. So I got in the writing room with Alex Klein and Allison Veltz, and we were just kind of reflecting on relationships that we had seen go really well, like looking at our parents, looking at our grandparents, you know, just kind of those relationships that we idolized as kids and looked up to. And, you know, I have a lot of great relationships in my life, and I feel like we just looked back on, you know, maybe love that we had or love that went really well, love that went bad, and just kind of looking for the right kind of love this time and not settling until we find it.
And how long ago did you write this song?
This one would have been about 6 months ago.
And did you predict the future? Much like you predicted the demise of The Bachelor, You make this song, and did somebody like that come along?
They did.
You predicted the future.
Predicted the future.
That's what you need to do. You need to write more song predicting.
Exactly.
Or predicting future songs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what my therapist says. You got to, like, see the good stuff that's going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
But then I do, and it never happens. So then I start seeing the bad stuff again.
No.
You have an accent, which is interesting.
Do I?
Yeah.
What
a bit
kind?
Of a, not so much of a Canadian one.
Oh.
A little bit. I dated a Canadian girl for a long time. So I'm very experienced with the Canadian talk and mm-hmm. your little hybrid English, French, A type
yeah.
language. But just a little country accent
oh, really?
To you, too. Yeah. So what, like, what, tell me about, like, a town you grew up in.
I grew up in a really small town in Saskatchewan in Canada, and my dad's a wheat farmer, so we grew up, like, in the small town, but then we also had the family farm, so I spent a lot of time out there. And
your dad's a wheat farmer, huh?
Yeah.
What does that entail day to day?
I mean, for us being in Canada, there's, like, a very short season.
Yeah, like a week, right, where it's warm enough
yeah.
to grow anything?
Yeah, I mean, it pretty much starts, like, end of May, June, and harvest time is, like, September, October.
So is it, is it like, snow vacation the all rest of the year as a wheat farmer?
Well, my dad had another job that he worked that whole time as well. But, yeah, I guess for most people. Or they've got, like, cattle or something, but we don't. It's
a
just wheat.
Wheat farmer in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think about that. Like, when I flew into Toronto, which, by the way, I don't know what's in the water up there, but you guys are way too nice. And I enjoy it. I enjoy it. But even with my ex-girlfriend, she's way too nice. And I will be like, why are you being so nice to me all the time? But it was just a natural. It was just like in you guys' blood. And I didn't really realize that until I went to Toronto. And people would just like stop on the road and talk to me. And this is Toronto too, which is very metropolitan, by
yeah.
the way. It really close to New York, and you would think would be a little different than you know, Saskatchewan or mm-hmm. Vancouver or a lot of these other places that I was familiar with. But people were just like, hey, sir. And I'd be like, what's up? Would you like a dollar? Not asking for the homeless people were offering me money in Canada. It was so different than here in the States where they're like, can I get a dollar? They were like, sir, I don't have much, but why don't you have my last dollar? You Canadians are nuts, man. It's awesome. So what was my point with all that, Mike?
Canadians are really nice.
Yeah, I feel like I was onto something there. But so your dad, my point is I was flying in and I would see golf courses in Canada. And I was like, what week do you get to play golf here?
Yeah.
It's so cold all the time.
It is cold.
And so your dad, do you have tractors?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how big was his wheat farm?
People always ask me this and I always forget to ask him how big it is. But I mean, we've got a lot of land.
Do we need to call your dad
we
and ask him?
We might have to because
we have a phone connected right there. We can okay. call your dad.
And okay.
Do we want to get your dad on the phone?
I mean.
I'll call him.
Okay.
Tanil, don't press me. Hey, Mike, can you call her dad?
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna call her dad and see if he'll even just answer the phone. All right, what's he doing? What is today? Today's.
Yeah, they're trying to harvest right now, but it just snowed.
He's gonna get interrupted by a phone call and
yeah.
his daughter. Has your dad ever been in an interview before?
No.
Okay, it's first.
Okay.
Is he gonna be, are you nervous?
Yeah.
Okay. We're gonna plug the phone up. We have this phone here, Tanil, and so sometimes we'll do phone interviews if people uh-huh. are in Los Angeles. Are you freaked out about your dad being on?
Well, I'm just like, he never answers his phone, so we might go through all of this for nothing.
That's all right. Didn't say we didn't try, right, Mike?
Yeah.
And this phone rings all the time. Because this is in my house.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you hear a dog barking and you're listening to this, it's because I have a bulldog puppy, and I put him away for this interview, but I can hear him barking downstairs. Do you hear him barking?
Bring him out.
No. He does this all the time.
Bring him out. But he's so cute.
That's all he does. And so... This phone, as soon as we bought the line to start calling people, it mm-hmm. rings. It'll be 1 o'clock in the morning.
Is it just like random?
It's like people trying to sell me stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it would be like Jana Kramer, who we call on it. They're like, what up? No, it's some people trying to sell me stuff.
Yeah.
All right, we're good.
All right. You want her to just show you the number?
Yeah.
Off the camera?
Okay.
All right.
Let's see.
By the way, everyone listening right now as we look at this, follow Tanil on Instagram, TENILLE Arts. Tanil Arts. That is her name there. Do we have a dial tone, Mike?
We do.
All right. Let's see if we... And what is his name?
Kevin.
Will Kevin know that an unnamed Nashville phone number is probably specific to you?
Maybe.
Okay. Because I never would answer a call if I didn't know who it was. Ever.
Yeah. I mean, well, he's just like, he'll leave his phone.
Does he have any idea who Bobby Bones is at all?
I was just talking to him last night. And
great.
I was like, I'm doing this show.
Okay. I don't hear anything, but...
You have reached 3...
Okay.
Not
text him
Okay.
And say, hey, we're trying to call you. Can you answer the call here?
Okay.
All right. Let me read you a little bit about Tenille as she does this here. Let's see. She won 5 of the Saskatchewan Country Music Association Awards for all which you were nominated. Okay. Mike, do you still have his number?
I don't.
Okay. He needs the phone again.
Okay.
What we're doing is really hacking your phone. This is a trick. What's the trick we do with everyone? So maybe he'll see that. All right, we're going to keep going, Mike. I guess we have to hear it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all right. We're good. So tell me, you're on Reviver Records?
Yeah.
How long you been? When did you get that deal?
About a year and a half ago.
And so how did they get on to you to sign you?
It was actually, it had a lot to do with The Bachelor. I performed on
You did that
show.
Without a label.
The first time I performed, it was, completely without a label. And we were having like a viewing party for the episode here in Nashville. And we had Gator from Reviver Records come out to the show because I played like a little set before the episode aired. And it was pretty instant. Like I met with him and the whole team and I was just like, this feels like a perfect place for me.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Wow. And so then you become a millionaire as soon as you get signed.
Yeah, of course. That's how that works.
That's how it works, right? Yeah. And you're just loaded.
Yeah.
Mike, if we don't get him this time, we'll just give it a rest for a bit. No luck?
No luck.
Okay, that's all right. We're still going to get him. He's going to text her
it's
a little
bit. It's okay, Dad.
He maybe listen. Will he listen to this?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. He loves to listen to it. Like, I'll be home, and I'll hear him watching and listening to my YouTube videos. I'm like, Dad, I'm right here.
Super supportive dad, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about your mom? They still together?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what does she do?
She used to work as a lab tech in the hospital, but she was a stay-at-home mom for my entire life.
A lab tech, like needles?
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I had a cousin once who was training to be a lab tech, and she said, hey, I need to borrow you for needle practice.
Oof.
And I was like, well, first of all, that's not going to happen. I don't do needles very well. Then she was like, I need to do needles in your knuckles, because apparently they have to learn if they can't get it from your arm, they have to draw it from your knuckles.
Oh, no.
And so I didn't let her do it, obviously, but I didn't know you could draw a needle from knuckles.
Me either.
Did your mom draw blood from people?
She did, yeah.
If you were sick, could she help you? Giving you IVs or medicine?
She never did any of that stuff, but, I mean, she had medical knowledge, so she would help us out as much as she could.
All right, so you moved to the States when?
4 years ago.
You've only been here 4 years?
Yeah.
So, okay, so do you do the whole Canada thing first, where you're I'm going to be a star in Canada?
Not really. I mean, I was a little bit involved in, the Canadian country music industry up there, and they had a really cool program that I was a part of that was like the Discovery program where they help you out, give you the connections and everything. But I always knew that I wanted to be in Nashville. I made my first trip. It's almost exactly 10 years ago when I first came here to, write and get involved and everything. So I always had my sights set on Nashville. And so I didn't spend a ton of time focusing on the Canadian scene.
So what was it for you that made you go, oh, I got to move down there?
I think I had just seen so many people. It's just such a community. Like, Canada's so spread out. I wish they had a place that everybody could go and write with each other, because there's nothing. I mean, everybody's so spread out. So I knew that Nashville was just such a community. I knew that some of my favorite songwriters, some of my favorite artists, that's what they did. Once they moved to Nashville and they made their connections and they just started building it from the ground up. And that's what I wanted to do.
So you tell your parents what?
Well, the first time I actually came down, I was 14 or 15, and I had just been putting up YouTube videos and stuff, and a manager called our house, and he was like, hey, I want to bring you to Nashville, and I want to see if, you work well with this girl, because he was proposing me to be in this duo.
Oh, so what, you got Justin Bieber a little bit. They see you on YouTube.
A little bit.
As a kid, mm-hmm. Someone sees you on YouTube and says, let's do it.
Yeah.
I bet that would be creepy to me, though. I'll be like, really, what's happening here?
Yeah, I mean, my dad was super skeptical about it. My mom was excited because I was excited. But, yeah, it was definitely kind of like let's just go see what happens. Like, let's be safe about it. But, yeah, let's go see what happens. And it was – so they always knew that that's where I wanted to go. So they were supportive of it. And when I moved, they were like, oh, yeah, go for it.
So what happened with that duo?
It just didn't work out. Our music ideas were so different. And it was kind of like a Maddie and Tay thing before, like pretty much right before Maddie and Tay.
So, well, who was the girl? Is she around?
I think she's still
Miranda Lambert. Say it.
No.
Yeah, we thought so.
No.
She's still in town?
I don't think so. I think she went to college somewhere.
You guys hated each other, huh?
We didn't get along.
Oh, I was just kidding, but wow, no. Good for you.
Yeah, we didn't get along.
Oh, and Mike and I don't get along.
Yeah.
No, we just kind of sit over here and okay, so you come and you go, okay, well, Nashville's where I want to be. So you go back home.
Yeah.
And do you finish school?
I did. I finished high school.
Okay, and then you go, as soon as I'm done, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And so when did you actually pack up and move down?
I stayed for just like a couple of years, just saving up. I still lived with my parents and everything. And I was 21 when I moved down. First time I had ever lived on my own. Got a one-bedroom apartment, the whole thing.
Who moved with you?
My mom.
In a what? tell me the story. Did you get in a U-Haul? Did you get a truck with a trailer?
We did the drive twice. The first time we took her car and just loaded it up and drove as much as we could down just to get moved in. And then I ended up driving back again. I can't really remember why that happened, but I have like a little yellow Pontiac G5 from when I was like 16, and we loaded that thing up, and I still have that car. We drove it all the way down here, and my mom stayed for like about a week to just get me settled, and then she hopped on a plane and left me by myself.
What's the drive?
Full 25 hours of driving.
Wow.
So it took us about 2 days.
Do you still have that car?
I do.
Do you still drive that car?
Uh-huh.
I look at you.
Yeah.
With this millionaire record deal, you should have like
exactly.
A Mercedes. You know, talk about that for a second, because that is quite the misconception. Because you sign a record. And listen, when I signed my record deal, I actually think I went in the hole. I think I lost money. And people think when you sign a deal that it's just like a whole bunch of money given to you. You're a bit different than I am. You're better. Tell me what happens when you sign a deal.
Well, for me, my deal was pretty unique because my publisher, so I had been living off of, you know, being a songwriter and
so you signed a publishing deal first.
I signed a publishing deal first. And about halfway through that first year, my publisher was like, we should record this stuff on you. He knew that I wanted to be an artist. And so he really started just helping me out with all of that stuff, which was really, really cool. And I ended up signing kind of, he created a label, I guess, for me to release music. And so when I ended up signing with Reviver, like that all still kind of stayed together. So not much really changed for me other than having, you know, all of the label and everything. But yeah, no, it's not like you're just like handed a bunch of money and been like, yay, you're a signed artist now.
Mostly they go, we're going to pay for you to do things. Mm-hmm. And even then you got to pay us back.
Yeah.
That's really...
Yeah.
Unless you're a major artist switching labels and they're mm-hmm. trying to woo you, they're going, okay, we're now going to pay for you to make a record and we're going to pay for you to travel and do what they call radio tour, but you will pay us back.
Yeah.
Or we will drop you. One of the two things will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so sounds amazing, doesn't it? But it is cool to actually get a deal because they're actually supporting you to go out and try all this stuff.
It is. And I mean, without that, it'd be really, really hard to do all of those things if you didn't have that support.
What'd you put on YouTube? What song?
Like the one that I got.
Yeah, the one that
discovered.
There's always a video.
It was 15 by Taylor Swift, and I was 15 singing it. So that's what got me here.
And when they called, they asked for you? How did they get your number?
That's the whole thing that I still have not figured out. I don't know how they found me, but I mean, I'm glad that they did because I learned a lot from it.
Yeah.
But they literally just were like, hey, is Tennille there? And I answered the phone and talked to them for a little while and... Yeah, it was weird.
Grand Ole Opry debut just happened?
Yes.
How'd that go?
Amazing. Oh, my gosh. I still can't even believe that it happened. Like, it was just one of those moments where you're like, it feels like a pat on the back from the country music industry. You know, just everybody here being like, you deserve to be on that stage and make your debut. So I think that's what meant so much to me. And I had a ton of family and friends, everybody in town for it. So it was just a really big deal, and it made me feel very special.
Yeah, so the Opry the first time is like a your eyes wide open thing,
yeah.
Right? You'll like the second through the ninth or tenth time because you actually can take it in.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of people there on the first one. The first time that I played it, I was like, holy crap. And I do comedy and a little bit of music, right? So it's not definitely not the same. Like, you're a legitimate artist. I'm a joke. So it's just so many people like, oh my goodness, that it's really hard to take it in.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be what a wedding is like even. Never been married, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's like the buildup is like so crazy, and then it's like over in a second, and you're like, oh.
It is quick. Okay. But I will say, I don't know if you're playing it again anytime soon, but you actually enjoy the Opry experience from now on more.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because cool you know. Look and you, for me, I struggle with even seeing anyone in the audience because I was just like, oh my God, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm up here playing, I'm in the circle. And so I really didn't see the people out there. From now I walk out there, it goes much slower.
Yeah, that's good.
You can take it in. You can actually breathe and talk in between segments if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
There's not the pressure of all your family being there.
Yeah.
Good pressure, but there's still a lot of pressure there with everybody watching.
Yeah, it definitely was like a little bit of pressure. But I tried to. When I walked out there, I was like, for whatever reason, I wanted to like watch my foot step into the circle. So I made sure to just like take a moment to like see that moment.
That's cool. Are you that kind of person? Are you a take a moment person?
Yeah, I try to be, especially with those like really big moments. Otherwise, it just gets away from me sometimes.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or you like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
TECOVAS.com. TECOVAS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Top three big moments in your life. Okay, let's walk backward on this. Okay. I know. I'm giving you a second on this one. You're 25 years old.
Yeah.
Top three big moments of your life at number three.
At number three?
At number three. In America, we go backward to one. It's like a big buildup. Yeah.
Can I still use the Opry?
Of course. Okay. Yeah, nothing. Number three.
Number three, performing on The Bachelor.
Okay, which one or two? But
two,
because
it was just bigger and more people heard
my
music.
Okay, I like that. So that's your number three life moment.
Yep.
Number two life moment.
Performing the Canadian national anthem at the NBA Finals.
Recently?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It was a big one. It was something that literally when I started working with my manager, I was like, the one thing I do not want to do is sing any anthems. I am terrified. And that was, when I got the call for that, obviously I was excited and wanted to take that opportunity and take that risk. But it was the most terrifying moment of my entire life so far.
What did you sing with? Any, a band or?
Totally by
acapella?
Myself.
Acapella?
Yeah.
Hmm. So was there any sort of echo back on top of you?
Yes.
Because that sucks.
That was tough. There was a lot of people and just you're kind of trying to keep my note in my head walking out to the spot where I'm supposed to sing. I was so worried about that. And then they have all these rules about, like, you have to take a hard left to, like, walk off so that you don't get hit by the flag that's coming out for the American anthem. And there were just so many things to think about. But
so explain how – we're going to get to number one in a second. But explain how you're holding your note. All this stuff's happening around you. What mm-hmm. are you doing inside your head?
If you watch back any of the clips, I'm literally just like, like singing it in my head constantly.
But you got it.
Yeah.
And the thing, well, I don't know about the Canadian anthem, but the American anthem, if you start a little higher than you're supposed to, you're done.
Oh, yeah.
What's the Canadian anthem like?
It's not difficult to sing. Like, the range isn't as crazy as the American anthem. But I think, for me, I overthink anthems so much. I'll go over the lyrics in my head 100 times.
There's almost a no win.
No.
Now, there is a win because it's number 2 on your list.
Yeah.
So that's a win. Mm-hmm. However, in the grand scheme of doing the anthem, if you go out and you nail the anthem, you were supposed to nail the anthem, life just moves on.
Yeah.
If you screw up the anthem,
mm-hmm.
any anthem, life does not move on.
No.
People get pissed.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of pressure where if you nail it, you were supposed to, thank mm-hmm. you, go about your day. But if you don't, holy crap.
I mean, I actually ended up getting a lot of criticism.
Yeah. Why?
Because I changed it up a little Ooh. Bit.
Ooh, you took it, you made it your own? It's not American Idol, Tennille.
Ooh. But okay, like the anthem is like, oh, Canada. And I went, oh, Canada.
Probably wouldn't have done that if it were me. I would have just got Robert Goulet and watched him and done that.
Yeah, okay, well.
Oh, Canada.
That's not me. So I went out there Ooh. And I did it the way that
Ooh.
I do it.
Do you know who Robert Goulet is?
No.
No. I think he's Canadian. Do you know who he is?
I do know who he is.
Yeah. I saw him sing the Canadian national anthem at WrestleMania once, and for some reason he's stuck in my head. Will you see if Robert Goulet is Canadian? Because if he's not, I feel like a doofus. Okay, good for you. That's at number 2.
Yeah.
Singing the Canadian national anthem at the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. And who was the game? What was the game?
It was Toronto and...
Oh, it was the last one. Golden State.
Yeah, it wasn't the last, but they were... Yeah, they were...
Yes, it was in the finals, but yes. It wasn't... The last
right,
game.
Okay, yeah, I don't know sports, but yes, that's what happened.
Okay, so, but who won the game? Don't say Golden State, because if you do, this may be the curse of Tennille.
I don't know.
We'll go with Toronto then.
Okay.
And Kawhi had a big game, it was a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. it was a big. Mike, Robert Goulet?
He is of Canadian descent.
Boom, from where?
Well, he was born in the U.S.
Ah, oh, crap.
But ancestry is in Canada.
Okay. In Canada?
It says Canadian.
Who's the most famous person to you growing up in Canada?
The most famous person to me?
Yeah.
Shania Twain.
Okay, because she was from Canada and also massive and probably yeah. the most famous to everybody, period, in North America.
Yes.
Okay, so Shania Twain. Who, anybody else? Because I'm on the radio in Saskatchewan. Is that a town or a province?
That's a province.
Okay, mm-hmm. So dumb. Forgive me, because here's what happened. I love the people in Canada. Can't get enough of them. That being said, I was thrown into so many places at once.
Yeah.
That they're like... You're in all the, and I'm trying to learn as fast as I can. I'm a big Ottawa Senators fan,
mm-hmm.
although they suck. So I wear the hat proudly, but they may be the worst run hockey organization in the NHL. Are you a hockey fan?
A little bit.
Okay, who's your team?
Well, I hop on the bandwagon of wherever I am, so Preds.
Oh. You don't have like a Canadian team?
I don't.
Did your dad like watch a team?
I mean, like we grew up as a family. My brother played. So, I mean, the most hockey I watched was him playing. Mm-hmm. I also played for a year. Just saying. But yeah.
So hockey you played hockey, yet you don't have like a team that you watch?
No.
Okay, so you're a Preds fan.
Yeah. I like to actually go to games. Watching sports on TV just does nothing for me.
And you played hockey. You also a dancer?
Yeah.
And you answer that confidently. So you were a good dancer?
I mean, I was competitive, mm-hmm. especially with like tap dancing. That was kind of my thing. But my little sister is amazing. And so once I decided that I wasn't going to be a dancer, she like ran with it. She loves dancing, and she still does that to this day.
How many years did you dance?
From the time I was like 3 to 18.
Oh, a long time.
Yeah.
Did you ever win any championships?
I went to competitions all around, like the provinces bordering mine and a few in the States.
Did you ever win any trophies?
Yeah.
Oh.
I won some stuff.
Crap. Because I won a trophy. I dance, and I like to brag about it a little bit. I danced for 4 months.
Oh. And won. Well, yeah, there you go.
That's right.
And then that's a pretty big trophy to
that's
win.
Right. That's right. So
that's a good
so
one.
Probably imagine if I danced for 15 years, all the trophies I would have.
Yeah.
Dang, that was cool.
Exactly.
Okay, so you're in Canada. You moved to the States. You've been here for, as of today, like 4 years?
Yeah.
That's it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you're just a baby in the Nashville terms. And you have a record deal and you got music that's good for you.
Thank you.
Kind of popping a little bit.
Well, I just decided, I was like, if I'm going to be away from everybody, because like I moved here not knowing anybody, my entire family's back in Canada. I was like, if I'm going to move here, I'm going to put my head down and make sure that this time is worth it. And my time away from my family, my grandparents, everything, I needed to make it feel like it was worthwhile.
Is it frustrating to not find a keychain with your name on it?
Yes.
Because I don't know. I never met a Tennille until mm-hmm. I met the other one.
Yep.
And I was like, huh. And then I heard, and then I was like, there's another. So Tennille Towns is a friend, and she opened for me for a lot of my comedy tour last year. And then I was like, they were like, Tennille Arts. And I was like, no, you're saying it wrong. It said Towns, not Arts. And they're like, no, there's another Tennille. And I was like, well, how about that? That's kind of weird. What is she, you know, where's she from? They're like, she's from Canada too. Mm-hmm. Same age. That's confusing.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Did you guys know each other?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. From like the
Canadian
stuff.
Like a Tennille chat room where you guys, everybody named Tennille would get in and talk with each other?
Actually, the first time I met her, she had one of her good friends with her and her name was also Tennille.
So what's happening? Is there something in Canada where they name them after...
I don't know.
Captain and Tennille, big thing. Mike, is Tennille Canadian from Captain and Tennille?
I don't know.
Will you look that up?
I know that she was born in like Montgomery, Alabama or something.
Oh,
Tony Tennille.
So you know this already?
Mm-hmm. Because I thought that was weird because I grew up on Montgomery Crescent. And she was from Montgomery, Alabama.
Does that have anything to do with your name?
Well, my parents named me after that.
After Captain and Tennille?
Yeah. They loved the name, but they also gave me two middle names just in case. Mm. So.
Captain and Tennille sing songs like Muskrat Love.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't know how I know that. Did Kevin hit us back on the text? Let's see if her dad
not you. Canadian.
No. Not yet. Apparently they're not Canadian.
Dad, you're gonna lose the
That's
chance
all right.
to chat.
Okay, so we do this sometimes. You're Mount Rushmore of artists. Okay. Oh. You get four, however I allow five, because everyone always goes, let me add one more. I'm gonna give you five, but you can't go, let me add one more. We're already doing that plus one.
We're
with
doing
the fifth.
Five.
So okay, five artists on your Mount Rushmore. Who is your first artist?
Are they any?
It doesn't matter.
Any genre?
It can be any genre.
First artist, like this is no order.
Well, okay, you don't have to rank them.
Okay.
But you can if you want. Are you saying right now no order?
No order.
No order.
Because they'll probably come to me as we do this. Well, I grew up listening to Paul Simon.
Okay.
So I'm a huge fan of his songwriting and everything.
Graceland.
Him, yeah.
The whole record?
The whole record.
Amazing.
I love it.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, man. This is already hard, and I'm only one person in. Shania Twain has to be on there. I know I'm going to do this and forget somebody and be really sad. Keith Urban. Kelly Clarkson.
And you got one here that counts. It's not a bonus. You get five.
Okay.
So far, while you're thinking, we have Paul Simon, Shania Twain, Keith Urban, Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, my gosh. Can I call a friend? I don't know. That's a hard one. There's so many good artists. Like, I feel like...
But if you pick nobody, then you get nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
You're not bound to this contractually. You know, if you leave this house and decide you want to change your mind...
You can just see me overthinking everything right now. I'm like, wait, do I... Yeah, okay.
Pull up a playlist on your phone. Okay. What do you... Spotify, Apple Music, whatever you have. Pull it up.
Okay.
And we will... Let's look at the last song.
Casey Musgraves.
Great.
Yes.
Love it. Okay. Love no. Let's look at the playlist.
Oh. I don't really have playlists.
You don't have liked songs? Like the last songs that you liked?
I don't do that.
Let me see your playlist here.
Like I'm kind of all over the place.
Well, you should be musically, but how do you find stuff? You just chase albums?
I just like, I look up the album. Like this is my album.
Do you have a last songs you played? Yours.
Yeah.
Your song.
Yeah, I was warming up in the car on the way here.
Your song.
You know,
which is interesting. You brought a guitar.
Well, yeah.
We've never had anyone bring a guitar.
Well, you never know when you're going to need to break out in a song.
That's true. So your last song is I Hate This. Do you have a list of stuff you played recently?
I don't know how to get to that.
See, I got you.
Technology's hard for me.
Oh, check it out. A lot of Chumbawamba. You a big fan?
What?
No, I'm just kidding. Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
Casey Musgraves. Who's Paul Sykes?
He's a friend of mine. He used to play guitar for me.
Shout out Paul Sykes.
Yep.
I'm really going through your stuff. This is some stuff here. You have a lot of some artists named Tennille Arts. Yeah. A lot. Wow.
Are you in the fan club?
Who's Twin Kennedy?
They're also friends of mine.
Okay.
Yep.
So we're getting a lot of shout outs here. And that's all you have in all your songs.
Yeah.
You listen to yourself and your friends. I like that.
Well, I got to download my own stuff and make sure that like nothing's wrong with it, you know, when it goes out there.
All right. Well, why don't we, I'm not going to ask you to like really sing or anything, but let's grab this guitar, Mike. Let's see what's happening over here. If we can't get Kevin to call us back.
Yeah.
Kevin's big time in us right now. Do you know, let's play a game while he's doing that.
Okay.
Canadian or not Canadian? Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
I give you a celeb. You tell me if they're Canadian or not.
Okay.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Not.
Okay, correct. Ryan Reynolds.
Canadian.
Right. Hailey Bieber.
Not.
Correct. James Franco.
Not.
Ryan Gosling.
Canadian.
Yeah. Anne Hathaway.
Not.
Not. Does the Canadian stuff dominate any interview you ever do? Are they always, tell me about Canada.
A little bit, but yeah.
What about the double Tennille's? Does that happen a lot?
Yeah.
Do you ever think if it doesn't work, you two could form a group?
Maybe.
And just be called Tennille 2?
Tennille squared.
Look at this. What kind of guitar we have here?
This is a PRS acoustic.
So what we're going to do here is we're going to play very light. We've never done this before, so let's see what it sounds like.
Well, let me make sure.
I like to go no tuning.
Yeah?
We like to go out of tune. It's kind of our style here on the show.
Okay.
Mike, you want to see how this sounds?
Yes, check it out.
Okay. You want her to back away from the mic just a little bit?
Maybe just a little bit.
Okay.
It's the opposite of what we just did. We had to get closer, and now we're going to have you move back just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so play me a little bit of I Hate This.
Okay.
Because that's the one you had up on your phone.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we're going to do the Canadian National Anthem. I'm just kidding. We're not.
I was like, no, maybe not.
All right, for the first time on this podcast, someone's going to play. We'll do a little bit of I Hate This. Go ahead.
Okay. You want me to just do like verse chorus?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hate this. Here I am running into you, trying not to touch. I hate this, acting like it's not killing me when it does. And that watch I gave you still looks good on your wrist. Don't you think it's time we end this little experiment? 'Cause I know we said we'd just be friends. I can't lie and I can't pretend, boy. I tried it, bottom line is I still love you and I hate this.
Hey, that's good. Look at that. Good.
Thank you.
Well, we can put the mic. We put the guitar down. That's
okay.
Good. How does it sound? Do we know if it's,
it sounds pretty good.
Popped or anything?
No, we're good.
Okay, well, if you have it, do you want to do a little bit of your new song then?
Sure.
Well, I mean, if that's the new single, let's hear Somebody Like That.
Okay.
All right. I've seen pickup lines and dive bar strangers slow dance. I've seen happy hour two-for-ones turn to one-night stands. I've seen neon rebounds, late-night drunk dives. I've seen that Cinderella fairy tale go up in cigarette smoke. I've seen two hearts bet it all and still end up broke. The real thing won't be easy, yeah, it might take a while. But I want that only falling. Keep the fire burning like the first time. Feeling no matter what. If I'm gonna love, I'm gonna love somebody like that. Kind of heart, open arms, is forever.
Holy crap, man. It's really good. It's strong. You're like 2 foot tall. The humongous voice.
Thank you.
Mike will take your guitar from you. Okay. He'll be sure to drop it. There it is. Let's check one more time for Kevin. I'd love to have had him on the show.
Kevin.
Did he respond to your text?
No.
He probably likes your brother and sister better, huh? I bet if they texted, he probably would have been like...
No, he literally just never has his phone on him.
So what's the story with your brothers and sisters? You have two total? One each?
I have two sisters and a brother.
Okay. And you are in the mix, what level?
Second youngest.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your oldest is?
Brittany.
Okay. And what's Brittany do? Music at all?
It's not really. No. Her husband was in the military in Canada. They moved around a lot and... Now they're back in Saskatchewan starting their own company, so they're working on stuff there. It's a drone company.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. My co-host husband has a drone company. He was in the military, too.
Yeah.
And now they apparently all fly drones and look in our windows. And
exactly.
Who knows what they're
doing. They know everything about our lives.
And then your brother is older than you?
Yep.
And what does he do?
He went to school for finance stuff, but he's also been working at the farm as well. So we're all just kind of all over the place doing our own thing.
And your youngest sister is a hockey player and dancer?
Yeah.
Is that true?
She just dances now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they very proud of you?
Yeah.
Are they like keeping up? Are they super excited?
Yeah, they keep up. And my little sister and I talk like really often. But so since we're both kind of very, I guess, you know, we like hair and makeup and photos and doing all of the fun stuff, my older two siblings felt like they were not in the group or whatever of us performing sisters. So they created their own Instagram called like the other two siblings or something. And they recreate our photos on the farm. It is hilarious. Yeah. It's pretty funny. So they're all supportive and yeah.
So parents, four kids.
Yep.
Any animals growing up?
Yeah. We had a dog.
A dog?
Yeah. Just one.
Okay. No cows.
No, no cows.
What kind of animals are on farms in Canada?
We had just like a lot of stray cats, like farm cats, just running around. Yeah.
All right, Mike. Anything for Tennille? We're about to wrap this up.
I'm just amazed how good that was. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was really good.
Thanks.
What's cool is we get to hear everybody sing. I mean, hear about it on the show or out. That's really good.
Thank you.
I don't know that I was not expecting it to be, but it was really good.
Thank you.
And we've never done that before. That's kind of
you kind of brought your guitar on a baller move. It's like I just have my guitar. If you need it, let me. It's cool. I like that. I work on American Idol, and I mentor a lot of these kids. A lot of the kids need more of the music mentorship. A lot of the older people kind of need the kind of the life, how to go through a reality show. But I tell them, and I think you could probably speak on this too, if someone asks you to play, just freaking play.
Yeah.
That's it. If someone's like, hey, do you play? Don't take a second to be like, well, I'm not really right now. And, you know, let me think it. Go.
Yeah.
Like, play your freaking song.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Because you never know who's listening, who may – that person's not going to get you a record deal, but they may – hear you and go, oh, this person,
you should
hear that.
That's the thing. You never know when you're going to be discovered. And I think the more you play, the more you get out there, the more chances there are. You know, you can't just sit in your bedroom and sing songs all the time and think that you're going to get somewhere.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Here's my neighbor overheard me singing in my backyard and recommended me to get in vocal training.
Yeah.
Is that familiar at all?
Yes.
Because it didn't happen to me.
No,
that was you.
It happened to me.
So you're singing and just doing, how old are you?
Oh my gosh, I was probably like 7.
And your neighbor hears something in your voice.
Yeah.
And says how you should go and learn to sing the real way.
Yeah, she came over, like, because I was always just like belting out Shania Twain songs or like whatever I was listening to or making songs up. Belt him out in my backyard, and my neighbor just came over and she's told my mom, she's like, I think she has a great voice. I think you should try to, you know, take her somewhere, see if she can do something with it. And of course, I loved that. My first voice lesson, I was so pumped and just so excited that, like, that's what made it feel real to me. At 8 years old, 7 or 8, whatever it was, I was like, that's going to be my career. I'm going to do this.
Where did you start singing as a kid publicly?
I did like a couple little like local festivals and things like that. But also because I was doing classically trained music, I also performed in like the music festivals and stuff.
And you would sing what kind of song as a classically trained performer?
There was like a book that picked songs out of.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have another record coming out next year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We know when?
It'll be early 2020.
And people listen to these things forever, so it may already be out when this thing is, you may be hearing the Tennille Arts podcast. Because we've done a lot of these, Mike, where people have, at early stages, they've kind of blown up. And you can go back and hear them. Because this is episode 203. So early on, we had some artists on in the early stages, too. And they were like, I don't know, we're just trying to get something going. And you go back now, and you're like, holy crap. Like, now they're big deals. So hopefully, this is what happens here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen. I think we've said everything that we need to say. You feel like you learned a little bit about you?
Yeah.
Kevin, sure. Kevin will not call us back. If you're listening right now, Kevin, we tried. Before we wrap it up, we're gonna give it one more look. Not yet. I'm gonna ask you a few random questions here, and then we'll call this a day. What's the last concert you bought tickets for?
I bought tickets for Kacey Musgraves, and I didn't get to go.
Which show?
It was the one at the Ryman, the Golden Hour tour.
Mm.
Or,
I went.
Or Oh, What a World. You did?
I did. Yeah.
I'm really jealous.
Yeah, you should be. It's great.
Yeah.
Why did you not get to go?
I had a show come up.
Great reason to not go.
Exactly.
How about that? Good. Yeah. Okay, so question number 2. What's the last movie you saw in theaters?
In theaters? I think it was that last show, last movie of the Avengers or whatever that
Mike?
Was.
Mike? Yeah. What's Avengers? It called?
Endgame.
Endgame.
It was good, huh? It's long.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I didn't watch any of the other ones.
Oh, yeah, no. That sucks. Because there were like 3 or I saw most of them.
Yeah.
But there were only 3 or 4 that I didn't see. And I felt a little out of it at times. I can only imagine what you felt. No, it's knowing.
I was very out of it. Well, actually, I think I saw the Captain Marvel one, the girl.
Mm-hmm.
maybe, yeah, I saw that one before. But also at the end of that, I did not know that this was like a big thing that was going to be coming to an end. And everybody was sitting in the theater still like waiting to see whatever they show at the end of those movies. I had no clue. I was completely in the dark that this was a whole series of things.
And that's the last movie you saw?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you on the road a lot now?
Yeah.
Every weekend?
Mm-hmm.
You going out this weekend?
I am. I'm leaving tomorrow.
Where do you go?
I'm going to Deadwood, South Dakota.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a trip.
Yeah.
You driving the Pontiac?
Oh, no.
What is it?
It's a Pontiac, right? But I don't even think it would make it there.
One final question. What is your hobby and why do you do it?
My hobby?
It cannot be something you make money at.
Okay,
so don't say music. What is your hobby and why do you do it?
Oh, man. It's a lot of my things have to do with music, but like this one thing that I started doing is like painting on the back of jean jackets. So that's kind of like a hobby thing that has become something that I love.
I think that's a wonderful answer.
Okay.
You're in a jacket now that is very painty, but you didn't paint this one.
No.
Okay. Let's check one more time for Kevin. This is her dad.
Dad.
Three. Two, no answer.
It's okay. Dad, we'll talk to you.
We'll do a whole podcast with him, Mike, at some point. Listen, Tanil, it's been nice. I didn't know you. I don't think had we ever met?
No.
I don't feel like we'd ever met.
No.
It's been nice to get to know you.
Thank you. Nice to get to know you, too.
I feel like big things are ahead.
Thank you.
Do you feel like I'm talking about for me, but do you feel like they're for you? You feel like they're also ahead for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited. I feel like this is a time where I've been through so much in the past year that I feel like my music has just changed so much, and I'm just excited for everything that's coming with it.
All right. Tanil Arts, T-E-N-I-L-L-E Arts. I bet you people ask all the time if that's your real last name.
Yes.
It is.
It is.
Kevin Arts, one of my favorite wheat farmers in Canada.
Exactly.
So he's a guy. All right. Well, there we have it. Mike, I believe that'll wrap us up. Episode 203 with Tanil Arts. That's a solid interview. Maybe the longest interview you've ever done.
Yeah. It was long, but it was great.
Yeah.
Went by fast.
As you walk out the house. I always wonder if it's weird because we normally do this earlier in the daytime, but because of my schedule so weird this week, we actually did this one at night. It's fully dark right now.
Yeah.
I'd always think it'd be weird going to somebody's house for a show. Like someone's like, come to the house. We're going to do a show. Like, this has got to be a little weird, right?
I mean, not really. I was like, I'm coming here with my manager. I don't know.
Okay.
It doesn't matter to me.
Great. I would just think like, going to somebody's house, is this a trick? But you can rest assured it is not a trick.
Not a trick.
All right. But we didn't record any of this. This is just for me.
Okay.
We're just saving it. All right. Tanil Arts, going to talk to you. Everybody check out her music. Her new single, as of right now, this recording, the song is called Somebody Like That. I really like the song, I Hate This. I put it on the national female show a couple times. I'll tell you what, I'll do it again because I felt like performance was fantastic. And I think that's it. All right. Tanil Arts, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Bobbycast. Share this episode with a friend because they don't pay to advertise us.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money in markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.